What happens when we take communion? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they become strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, see us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is episode 12 of the St. Joseph Bootcamp. And the question before us today is, what happens when we take communion? Now, this month, we've been looking at the fact that Christ is King. It's where we started the first week of this month. And the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the fact that Christ is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. Because Christ is truly present there, and because he is our King, we've been focusing in our challenge this month that when we're genuflecting before the Blessed Sacrament, that we genuflect with our eyes, our mind, our hearts, and our body. That even though genuflecting only takes a few seconds, it's important that we do even that small task with a great amount of reverence. And we should do that because of who is present in the tabernacle. And we should also do that because that sort of devotion, even the smallest acts done in great devotion, is really sweet to our Lord. And so we've been focusing on all that this month. Now, in our final podcast this month, what I'd like to focus, I want to zero in on our definition of what the Eucharist is. Okay, so we're really going to hammer out what is how is Christ present in the Blessed Sacrament? We're going to look at the fact that the Church believes in what's called transubstantiation. Once we get our minds wrapped around how Christ is present in it, then we're going to look at what the effects are when we participate in Holy Communion. So that's the task for today. So let's just jump into it. All right, last week I gave you guys the definition of what the Eucharist is from the Council of Trent. I want to read that again for you. Council of Trent says this: in the Blessed Eucharist, Christ himself, his body and blood, his soul and divinity, is really, truly, and substantially present under the species of bread and wine. Okay. All right. There's two terms here that we have to wrap our minds around to understand what the church teaches about the Eucharist. Okay. The first is what's called substance. The others is called what's called accidents. Okay, now substance and accidents are technical philosophical terms that the church has used to explain what Christ reveals about the Eucharist in the New Testament. Okay, so the church very often will find philosophical terms that'll help us help our reason understand what God's revealed. Okay. So we need to correctly define what a substance is and what an accident is to understand how Christ is present in the Eucharist. Okay, let's start with substance. A substance picks out in a thing what it is. Okay, so when you look at, say, this apple, okay, this apple, the substance of this apple is its appleness. So this object in my left hand, its substance is apple. This substance is pen. My substance is human. Okay. So the substance of a thing picks out what it is. It picks out its nature, its essence, stuff like that. In humans, we call it our soul. Okay. It's the aspect of us that makes us what we are. Okay. Now, an accident is also a quality that a thing has. Okay. But it doesn't define who we are. Okay, so let's look at this apple again. This apple, its substance is an apple. The accidents are what color it is. Okay, it's red and yellow. The fact that it has its skin on, the fact that it's a certain size and shape, that it weighs a certain amount, stuff like that. Those are accidental qualities. Okay, this object is a pen. The fact that it's black, the fact that it was made by the Pilot Company are accidental qualities. Okay. Lastly, I am human. That's what my substance is. Some accidental qualities be I'm wearing a teal t-shirt. I've got a beard and a shaved head. Now, substance and accidents are terms that are used to help us explain change. Okay. So when accidents change, a thing is still what it is. It's just existing in a different way. So for example, if I changed the color of my shirt or I shaved my beard off or I grew my hair out, I would still be human. I would still be me. With our apple here, if I cut off a piece of it so it was a different shape and a different size, or I skinned it off so that it was a different color, it would still be an apple. So accidental traits can change, but the thing is still what it is. Substantial change is when a thing, like this apple, or a thing like me, becomes something else. So let's say I were to die. That would be a substantial change. This body with this t-shirt on and this beard and this hair, this would all still be here, all these accidental traits. But you would point at me and say, that's not human anymore. It's a corpse. Okay. So substantial change is when a thing changes what it is. An accidental change is when the change happens, but a thing is still what it is. Now, how can this help us shed light on the Eucharist? What the church's position is this. Before the consecration, when the wine is in the chalice and the host is in the priest's hands, the thing in his hand is bread. Okay? Smells like bread, tastes like bread, all that sort of stuff. What's in the chalice is wine. Now, at the consecration, what makes the bread bread and what makes the wine wine leaves, its substance leaves, and the substance of Christ comes in. So now that same material object, the bread, it's now not bread, it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. That stuff that's in the cup, that wine, is now Christ's blood. It's not wine anymore. Well, that's what we mean by transubstantiation. One substance is being transferred for another. So when you look at the Eucharist, a consecrated host, that is Jesus Christ. Now, someone may come up to you and say, well, I have a hard time believing that, right? Because it looks like bread, it tastes like bread, it feels like bread, it sounds like bread, okay? Those taste, touch, sound, all that sort of stuff, those are the accidental traits that God holds in place when he takes the substance out, okay? So is the wine still going to, is the precious blood still going to have the effect of alcohol if you drink a whole bunch of it? Yeah, because the accidental qualities are still there. But that is the blood of Christ. And we saw that last week when we looked at 1 Corinthians. St. Paul is getting upset at the Corinthians because they're treating the body and the blood as if it was just bread and wine, which is gravely sinful. Okay, so when the church says holds a position of transubstantiation, that's what's going on. Okay, Christ is truly, truly present in the host. Now, when we take communion, okay, so if Christ is truly present in the host and he's present in the precious blood, when we take communion, what happens? What are the effects? There's this great book by a Benedictine abbot by the name of Blessed Columba Marmion. The book's called Christ, the Life of the Soul. It's absolutely fantastic. Great book. I spent, I think, 2 years, every time I went to adoration, I would just read sections of it and pray. It's an excellent book. He says this about the Eucharist. To be sacramentally united to Jesus in the Eucharist is the highest action possible to us. Eucharistic communion is the most perfect act of our divine adoption. Okay, beautiful. The Eucharist in this life, what greater thing can we do than take the Eucharist? Nothing. Okay, it is the highest action we could ever possibly do. It's the most perfect act of the fact that we are sons of God. Okay, now, when we take the Eucharist, we do this high act, what happens to us? There's three basic things that happen, and I'm getting this from the Handbook of Moral Theology by Dominic Prumer. It's a great book. On this podcast, we're going to turn to that often. Okay, he says there's three things that basically happen. Number one, as food for the soul, the Eucharist sustains our spiritual life. It's our spiritual food. It increases our grace and virtue. It remits venial faults and temporal punishments, and it causes spiritual joy. So as food, it does all those things for us. Okay, that's the first thing he lists. Second, as a special sign of Christ's passion, remember the Mass is, it's a sacrifice, okay? It's Christ's passion being represented. It's a pledge of our future glory, because we're participating in the sacrifice on the cross, also his resurrected body. And it's a powerful protection against the devil. So it's not only our spiritual food, but it's also a look forward to our future glory and helps equip us to fight the devil. The third thing, which I think is most profound and what we're going to zero on here, the Holy Eucharist produces perfect union between man and Christ, both God and man. Okay, extremely beautiful. When we take the Eucharist, it is a perfect union that we have with Christ and with the Blessed Trinity. In John chapter 6, verse 56, which we read a couple weeks ago, Jesus says this, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." Not only do we get Christ, we also get the entire Trinity with it. Jesus, in John 14, verse 23, Jesus says this, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him." Guys, when we take the Holy Communion, we become one with Christ and we become one with the Trinity, right? And there's this beautiful line. I want to unpack this a little bit further. And there's a really cool illustration with our substance accidents quality. We're going to go a little bit deeper on this because there's an awesome, profound truth we can explore here. In Adolf Tankery's book, The Spiritual Life, he says this, "There exists between Jesus and ourselves a union." Okay, so he's trying to unpack the union I just talked about in John, in both those quotes from John. He says, "There exists between Jesus and ourselves a union similar to that existing between food and him who eats it." Okay, what is this union? All right, let's go back to our substance accidents. We have our apple. This thing is an apple. Now the matter, the material, the stuff that this is made out of, this stuff can be other things, right? If you throw this apple out in the yard and just let it sit there long enough, it's going to decompose and turn into dirt, okay? That would be a slow process of change. This apple, okay, the stuff that makes up this apple can also become other things. It can become me. If I were to consume this apple right now, okay, this material here would lose the substance of apple and it would gain the substance of me. It would become me. Why? Because through the process of digestion, the stuff that makes up this apple would be absorbed into my body, my soul or my substance would fill it, and this apple becomes me. So when we say you are what you eat, that's literally true. Okay, the food that we eat becomes us because our substance, our soul fills that food. Make sense? Tankery says here that when we take the Eucharist, it's kind of like that. Okay, in the food example, the food becomes us. Well, how's that happen in the Eucharist? Listen to what he says here. Here's the difference. It is Jesus that transforms us into himself and not we who transform him into our substance. Here's what he says here. He says, just as we eat, this apple becomes me. When I consume the Eucharist, Christ doesn't become me, I become him. When we take Holy Communion, we become like Christ. His life becomes our life. We're drawn up into and participate in his life. Guys, this is a real spiritual union. And Tanker explains the reason why this is the case is that the superior being is the one who assimilates the inferior. I am superior to the apple, so the apple becomes me. When I consume the Eucharist, Christ is superior to me, so I become him. Guys, this is absolutely incredible. Every time we take Holy Communion, we are becoming more like Jesus Christ. We're being assimilated and drawn up into his inner life. So what application should we walk away with in this? Guys, the Eucharist always does this. There's a Latin term called ex opere operato. What that means is the Eucharist is going to do what the Eucharist does every time. The only thing that stands in the way of the Eucharist making us like Jesus Christ is us, because we can block what he's trying to do. Listen to Columba Marmion again. "The graces flowing from the Mass are given to us according to the measure of the ardor of our faith and the sincerity of our devotion." Guys, when we come to the Blessed Sacrament, we need to remove every single obstacle out of the way. If you need to get to confession, go. When you're doing that little examination before Mass starts, get those venial sins confessed in your mind and heart. Okay, focus. When you genuflect before the tabernacle and enter your pew, do it slowly and reverently. Because as we remove these obstacles, Christ will feed us with his very body and blood and make us more like himself. Awesome, awesome truths. Guys, I look forward to seeing you next week.